Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the Equippers International podcast. We are studying the book of Romans, and we're working our way through these initial verses in chapter 6. It's one of my favorite chapters of Scripture, and as I said in the previous episode, you can probably tell I'm pretty excited about it because I'm passionate about what Paul is showing us in this chapter. First and foremost is because it has transformed my life. It's brought me into a place of understanding about who I am in Christ and what God has done for me through Christ, that it has actually transformed my life. It has changed the way I understand sin in my life and my relationship to the power of sin. And I promise you that if you will enter into this study with an open heart and a desire to understand the good news of God more, it will set you free. It will absolutely revolutionize your life. It is one of the foundational keys to living a fruitful life in God. And I believe this with all my heart. That's why I speak about it with such excitement and such conviction. But let's pick up there in chapter 6, verse 5. I'm going to reread verse 5, but we're going to focus on verse 6. If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Whew, there is a lot to unpack here. Now let's move through slowly. Let's don't get too far ahead of ourselves. We don't want to miss any of this goodness. I love this verse. Now let's first focus on the first word, verse 6, knowing. This word is all about revelation. It's all about you understanding through faith what God has done for you in Christ to the point where you can say, I know it. Not, I think it might be true, or I'm considering it, or I'm looking at it and I'm debating with this and I'm really not certain. No. Paul wants to move us into this place of deep-rooted conviction that comes from a place of, I know what I know that I know. This is what he means by knowing. Do you know this, that our old self was crucified with him? Now, let's unpack this idea of old self. Now, I don't want to talk so much about the Greek and the original language, but it's just so rich in passages like this for us to see some of these things. And if you ever had a desire to go to Bible school, save your time, and I'll give you a little bit of these tidbits, and they'll bless you. But in the original Greek, the word self here is literally the word anthropos. Now, why is that important? It's important because in the Greek language, there are two words for man. One is the Greek word aner, and it means a masculine human being, a man. And the counterpart of that in the Greek is gune. That's the word for woman. Okay, so you have aner and you have gune. You have man and woman. Those are the two male and female counterparts of the human race. That's a beautiful concept, but this is not what Paul's talking about here. Paul uses the word anthropos. Anthropos literally means human being. It is a general overarching term for both male and female. God created humans. He created them in his likeness. He created anthropos. He created humanity. Now look and reread this verse with that understanding. Paul says, know this, know it, deeply in your heart and in your conviction, that your old humanity, your old man, we speak of man, not in a masculine way. I think women can also relate to this. It's not in a gender way. It's in a human way. Your old humanity, your old self. My translation uses that word. It's a little bit ambiguous. It's not as specific, I think, and as profound as this idea of humanity, of your humanness, but your old humanness. And where was that old humanness? You remember Romans chapter 5? It was in Adam. Your old Adamic humanity was crucified with Christ. It hung on the cross there with Christ. Not only did it hang there on a representative level, like we looked at in Romans 5, with Christ as the head man. Remember, we unpacked that idea of Christ being the last Adam and the second human. He was the last Adam, and that the Adamic human race was put to death. And that's what Paul's talking about here. When you participate in faith in what Christ has done, you become a participant in his death. And what died? Your old humanity, your old self was crucified with him, so that, in order that, your body of sin might be done away with. Now, what is he talking about? Your body of sin. Here's what I believe he's talking about. I believe that in the old Adamic nature, our bodies, our humanity experience was just an experience of being in sin. It was being in relationship to the power of sin. It was living in a condemned condition to death. And it was in that place that we have this reality that Paul calls a body of sin. It's kind of like this metaphorical terminology related to the actual condition that we were in. We had this body of sin, but in Christ, we move out of that condition through our body of sin being done away with. How is it done away with? It's done away with through death. See, when things die, they're done away with. They're finished. They don't have life anymore. We all can relate to death. We've had experience of losing a pet or losing a loved one, something that was alive, dying in our lives. And when it dies, it's finished. It's not there anymore. We don't have any interaction with it anymore. This is what Paul's bringing across in relationship to our old self. Our old self had a body of sin in it. And when we came into this participation with Christ and we entered into the baptism of Christ, we were baptized into his death so that we could be joined to his resurrection, so that our old self would be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Now, Paul introduces another new concept, another new truth, is that in our previous condition in Adam, in that body of sin, we were slaves. We were bound to do whatever sin told us to do. Now, you may not have perceived your life to be like that. I told you a little bit about my own personal testimony. I was quite keen to come into agreement with whatever sin told me to do. Now, people have asked me when they understand my testimony and they say, what was it like before you were a Christian and you were so involved in your sinful behavior? I tell them all the time, I say, well, I enjoyed it. Why did I enjoy it? Because I was a slave to it and I did whatever it told me to do. Now, that may not be your own personal experience, but the truth is that all of us who are in Adam, in our old body of sin, Paul tells us we're slaves to sin. Now, your sin patterns may have looked totally different than my sin patterns looked, but that does not mean any less that you were a slave to sin. You were a slave to sin. I was a slave to sin. This is why it's important for us to understand truth, put the categories in their right place. When we were in Adam, We had a body of sin, and our body of sin was a slave to sin. But in Christ, we are brought into a new reality. We are baptized into his death. We participate in his resurrection. We are brought into a newness of life whereby our old man dies and our body of sin is done away with, so that now we are not slaves to sin. We are slaves to righteousness. And Paul's going to go into that in these next verses. And listen to what he says in verse 7, a very short verse, but a very powerful verse. For he who has died is freed from sin. Literally, he is acquitted from sin. Sin no longer has anything to do with you. The power of sin. I'm not saying you'll never sin again. And that's not what Paul's saying. There is always provision for us if we sin. If we sin, we have the blood of Jesus that reminds us you're forgiven. But the beauty is that we don't have to sin, because there is freedom. There is acquittal from the power of sin in our lives through the participation of the death of Christ. I hope and I pray that this truth is beginning to seep deeper down into your spirit, into your heart, wherever you identify that place of deep-seated conviction, where the Holy Spirit can open up this truth to you so that you can live in the freedom that has been provided for you in Christ Jesus. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.